The Old Testament reading for the Transfiguration of our Lord is from Exodus chapter 24. And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you, in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me in the mountain and wait there, that I may give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God, and he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we return to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let him go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. The epistle is from 2 Peter chapter 1. "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased,' we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven. For we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter. These words serve as our sermon text. After six days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." This is the gospel of grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Throughout history, churches have often been seen as sacred places that should be respected and reverenced. During wars, churches were sometimes spared from bombing or total destruction, because they represented something sacred. What about the sanctuary of Zion Lutheran Church in which we are gathered? Is there a sense of sacredness in this place? Our text this morning is the gospel lesson from Matthew 17. And the transfiguration of Jesus occupies a most sacred place indeed. On the mountain, we get a glimpse of Jesus in the fullness of his glory. It is a space that seems remote from the lowly manger of Christmas and the horrible cross of Good Friday. This mountain is truly holy ground. What underscores all of this is not simply a sacred story, but also a reminder of what Christ Jesus wants to do in the hearts and lives of every one of us gathered here this morning. So as we look at that text, we consider the theme, sacred space. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, you can take a word and play with the letters by rearranging them. For example, if you flip-flop the A and C in the word sacred, you end up with the word scared. For people who are without Jesus Christ, any church setting, or this mountaintop for that matter, could be a place in which they are scared. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up on that mountain. And while on that mountain, Jesus will reveal to them his glory. He will also reiterate the purpose of his coming into the world. The text says, and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as snow. Those three disciples were privileged to see Jesus in that state. That brightness kind of reminds me of those wintry days when we've just had new snow, you know, kind of every Thursday lately. And that sun shines down so brightly that it reflects off there, and you almost need sunglasses, it's so bright. Well, as this is the image there with Jesus, then all of a sudden you have Moses and Elijah appearing with Jesus. And Luke's gospel adds a few more things that Matthew doesn't have. For example, it says, who appearing in glory were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. The significance of Moses and Elijah was represented, but Moses represented the law, of which Jesus is the fulfillment. Elijah represented all of the prophets, of which Jesus is the fulfillment. For earlier Jesus had said, do you not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets? I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. That Jesus has done on behalf of all people. Well, Peter, James, and John, they're frightened by what they witnessed. It says, and when the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were much afraid. In this sacred space, with the glorified Christ, the three quickly realized that they were out of place. They probably realized that in their flesh, they were not sacred, but rather they were sinful. In that sacred space, they didn't know how to react with this glorious vision. And Peter speaks, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three tabernacles here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Now going back to the church sanctuary thought, for someone who has not been raised in the church, coming into a sanctuary can be a scary thing. Think about it. Number one, they probably don't know anyone at all. So that behooves us who are here to make ourselves known to them. It's not their responsibility to get to know everyone. It's the body of Christ that needs to reach out, make those connections. Well, then secondly, they don't know when to stand up or sit down. They don't know all the customs that go on here. This space for us is sacred space. As the law of God is preached, they may feel convicted, unworthy, or uncomfortable, just as we do when the law of God is preached. And there's another aspect here. We all have our own personal space, if you will. And we don't like to be crowded in upon. We don't like it when somebody verbally gets in our face or gets too close to us physically. We certainly don't like it, none of us do, when the law of God convicts you and me of our sin and our unrighteousness and our unsacredness. But the reality is, by nature, we are unworthy. We ought to feel uncomfortable because we have not been and cannot be perfectly obedient to a holy and just God. And sometimes we failed in our relationships with others. And we stand in need of God's forgiveness as declared through the work of Christ Jesus. We come to this sacred space to receive the forgiveness of our sins. And it is good for us to be here this morning in this sacred space. Now, in the text, we have the Heavenly Father speaking in a cloud of glory. But if we go back to Exodus 24, we read this. Then Moses went up to the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain, and the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days, and on the seventh day, he called to Moses from the midst of the cloud. Our text says, while he, Peter, was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. God's sacred presence in this sacred space caused the disciples to fall face down on the ground, terrified. And Jesus came to them and touched them and said, arise, do not be afraid. That can also be translated that Jesus took hold of them. In our baptism, that is exactly what Jesus did to each of us. He touched us with his life-giving word and water. He took hold of us and he claimed us as our own. He forgave us and he washed all of our sins away. Jesus tells the three to get up, gives them instructions to tell no one until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. Jesus is simply reminding them again that he is going to die, but that he is going to rise from the dead. This mountaintop is truly sacred space. What makes it sacred is the presence of Christ Jesus himself. How often do we struggle with admitting to God that our lives are anything but sacred? We also know that we are not made sacred by our own efforts, but by being transformed and changed by God's grace through faith in Christ Jesus, and that is entirely God's work. St. Paul puts it this way, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. What Jesus said he would do, he has accomplished. In Hebrews, we are told, by this will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Yes, Jesus suffered. He bled. He died. He rose from the dead for the forgiveness of all of our sins. And we were clothed in his merits and righteousness in our baptism. He forgives our sins through the holy absolution. And when the supper is offered, Jesus gives us his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins and for the strengthening of our faith. It is good for us to gather each Lord's Day here in this sacred space. While we would always like to dwell on the mountaintops of life, we also know that we have to deal with the struggles in the valleys of daily living. But in the valleys is where we meet Christ Jesus through his word and sacraments, where he has touched and continues to touch our lives with his grace and mercy. And it is there that Jesus calms our fears, brings peace to our hearts when they are troubled. And as we are gathered together as the body of Christ, Jesus is present, and we find ourselves in his sacred space. In Jesus' name and completed work, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.